I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, providing you with a safe space for independent thought. It's just you and me, no tribes, nobody looking on. You can think for yourself for a couple of hours a day, and I ask you to do that here. Today is Tuesday, so we're going to get to some Tech Tuesday stuff. I'm believing that the marriage of politics, what politics has started in destroying the interpersonal relationships of human beings, technology is going to finish off. That's my opinion. And we will see exactly where it goes. There's just several things emerging right now that I think are going to make interpersonal, like human-to-human, touching contact, a thing of the past in the next 30 to 50 years, particularly as children are raised in this dystopian technological world. So I've got a couple of stories about that. Sounds like some uplifting stuff, doesn't it? But we'll get to that next hour. We're probably going to do that early in the hour as opposed to the end of the show, as I usually do. At 10:30 today, we're planning on having Mary Jo Perry with Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights on. She's going to talk about their event tomorrow at the Capitol, which I think is very important. They do such a great job of mobilizing people. But I also want to get her on to address this this clip that I played yesterday from the lying Walensky and the mini Mengele testifying to Congress about the VAERS system. Mary Jo Perry was talking about VAERS long before it was cool, long before COVID. They had their eyes on VAERS, and it's been kind of the crux of their whole argument against mandating vaccinations for our children. VAERS has existed for years. It's not new. It's been recording deaths and adverse events, autism, and things like that around vaccinations for decades. And Mary Jo Perry knows VAERS probably better than anybody you're going to hear on Central Mississippi Radio, so I wanted to have her on to just address the most egregious lie and deception by Fauci and Walensky. So we'll do that. She's scheduled to come on today at 10:30. Right now, it's 9 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. Do you know where your senator is? Well, if you're trying to reach Roger Wicker, make sure your long distance is working properly. You're going to need to make that an international call. A bipartisan group of senators is traveling to Ukraine this week to meet with President Zelensky and other Ukrainian officials amid escalating tensions between Kiev and Moscow. This came out of the Hill on Monday. Quote, Senators Rob Portman, Republican from Ohio, Jeanine Shaheen, Democrat from New Hampshire, Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut, Kevin Cramer, Republican from North Dakota, Amy Klobuchar, Democrat from Minnesota, and Roger Wicker, Republican from Mississippi, along with Richard Blumenthal, one of the just most abhorrent Democrats from Connecticut, announced the trip on Monday. They said they are traveling to Ukraine and holding discussions, quote, to reaffirm the U.S.'s commitment to Ukraine, which continues to face an increasingly belligerent Russia. There's your tax dollars hard at work. Roger Wicker. I haven't heard a lot from Roger Wicker on the southern border. Don't know if he's ever made a trip down there to protect the integrity of our country. But he is currently in Ukraine. I think it's great. Maybe it's a really brave venture on Roger Wicker's part. I mean, maybe he is suiting up and he is ready to stand on the wall there in Ukraine. I mean, certainly he would not take a first-class taxpayer-funded trip to Ukraine just to run his mouth for a little bit, go to a few cocktail parties, and then come home and leave the fighting to other people, would he? Certainly he is there to engage in the struggle himself. Which is, this is interesting, too, in light of some clips I played last night. Now, think about this, that Roger Wicker has traveled halfway around planet Earth to Ukraine. He is one of these Russia hysterics, one of the Wall Street warmongers. And I'm going to play back a clip I played yesterday from Victoria Nuland, who was talking about how dare Russia move their troops around, and you know they're trying to pretend that Russia is at any moment going to invade Ukraine. They talked about the false flags yesterday, but this Victoria Nuland, this deep state thug that has served in our State Department for years and years and years, now she was talking about the peculiar timing of how dare Vladimir Putin even look in Ukraine's direction with everything going on in Russia.
So why now? And why now particularly when Russia itself has only half its population vaccinated, when Russians care about taking care of COVID and taking care of their schools and their hospitals and their infrastructure? It makes no sense.
Yeah. So, again, back to our drinking game. Anytime you hear foreign policy hypocrisy, you got to take a drink. I'm not going to play the full game today, so one drink, it'll just stabilize you for the day. So Roger Wicker leaves the United States, where we've got huge problems at the border, where they tell us that COVID is just running rampant, where they are putting muzzles on our children in their schools. Schools in Mississippi are failing. Mississippi continues to be at the bottom of all the good lists and the top of all the bad lists. Roger Wicker's going to Ukraine. And to make sure that on this Friday, or on the 1st or the 15th, you pull out your paycheck, take a look at your federal withholding, and know that you sent him over there. I'm sure he's got a nice little per diem. I don't know what it costs to fly Congress critters halfway around the world. If they would stay there, the price would be worth it. But unfortunately, I have a feeling they will return. So anyway, there's your stalwart Roger Wicker over there trying to start World War III with Russia. Quotes of the day today. We'll start with a good one. I like to point out, as a libertarian, if you've ever watched the show Parks and Recreation, Ron Swanson, kind of the cool guy there, you know, he was the city manager or something, didn't ever want to do any work because he hated the government. He was the guy. He was the guy's guy on Parks and Recreation, played by Nick Offerman, I believe his name is. Iconic character. He was a libertarian, I'm just saying. There's a funny meme with him. It says, cursing. There's only one bad word, taxes. Any other word that is good enough for sailors is good enough for you. That's superimposed over a picture of Ron Swanson. That's right. There's only one bad word, taxes. Any other word that is good enough for sailors is good enough for you. This was an interesting one. This is William Blum. He is a former U.S. State Department employee. He said, no matter how paranoid or conspiracy-minded you are, what the government is actually doing is worse than you imagine. This is a man who served in our own State Department. This is where the Wall Street warmongers hang out. No matter how paranoid or conspiracy-minded you are, what the government is actually doing is worse than you imagine. Well, I got to tell you. You don't have to imagine much these days, do you? And then there's this one. If we understand the mechanism and motives of the group mind, it is now possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without them knowing it. This is Edward Bernays. He is the founder, the father of modern propaganda. He said, if we understand, I mean, just think about this for a second and then look back at the last 22 months, particularly, I implore you, if you're a COVID hysteric, if you are still right now driving in your car wearing the cloth mask that even the CDC has now finally come out and told you does not work, just think about this and understand. I mean, you're a victim. My heart goes out to you. Seriously, I have no ill will. I don't like it when you get real judgy or scream at people in the supermarket. That's a little annoying, I got to say. But I do understand you are an abuse victim if you were a COVID hysteric. This is the father of modern propaganda. He said, if we understand the mechanism and motives of the group mind, it is now possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without them knowing it. You would do well to listen to those, like myself, who observe from the outside and watch them controlling you. I know it. You should come to that realization as well. A little bit of philosophy to the show today. I ran across a couple of articles, some kind of good news, too, along these lines. But there were a couple of one is a story called Politics is Dead. Here's what killed it. I absolutely loved that one. It's a piece I'll explain when I come back to it. Salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. They say you better listen to the wise side of reason. But they don't give you any choice because they think that it's treason. I just heard one of our very enticing ads for YourPie up there in Gluckstadt. As a public service announcement, I will let you know that YourPie will be closed today. A lot of employees calling in either symptomatically sick. There is certainly a cold going around. But also some parents are getting their healthy kids tested to find out because they had close contact. And then they test positive for COVID even though they have absolutely no symptoms of anything. And they don't show up for work. So staffing a little challenging for a lot of small businesses right now. YourPie will be closed today. But that's even more of a reason for you to get out there and support them at other times as they've struggled through the labor shortages like all of your other mom-and-pop shops around here. And when they reopen, make sure you get out there and have fantastic food, support a locally owned, veteran-owned business. And I appreciate people who, a lot of people go into YourPie and tell them that they heard about it on WYAB, and we certainly do appreciate that. They've been a great sponsor for years now. I get reports from the owner D over there constantly that people come in and say that they heard about it on the station. Somebody the other day was from out of town or from far away, certainly not in the Gluckstadt area, but they found themselves in the area and they said, I keep hearing about you on WYAB and I definitely wanted to stop in and have the food. And they were duly impressed. So thank you for mentioning the station to them, and please make sure you patronize YourPie, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway up in Gluckstadt, except today they will be closed. I saw an article a couple days ago that said that politics is making people sick, literally. You know my sparing use of that word. And so I took a look at the article. I think I saved it actually for my health segment. I may talk about it tomorrow because it's true. Politics is actually so stressful and people are so wound up about politics that they are actually getting physically ill. And it made me so proud that I do not participate in, air quotes, politics here on this show, as odd as that might sound. I do not pump up lateral animosity between people. Because I understand divide and conquer as much as anything, and I've never seen it on greater display than I have over the past 5 years. So I affix most of my attacks on those in power, the parties that really make no difference to me. They're just a particular class of criminals. Much like, you know, I don't care if a murderer is black or white. I don't care if the crime was motivated by some arbitrary designation of hate or not. And I see the same thing when it comes to politics. And I think this tribal warfare that we've got going on amongst ourselves is really self-defeating and almost comical if it weren't so sad. Now, I understand people who lean one way or the other, and you want hope. Everybody wants hope. The hope that people have, though, is so misguided. People wanted to have all this faith that Donald Trump... I saw a headline yesterday, very accurate. It said that everything is worse this year than it was last year. And this was a hit piece on the Biden administration. And it was certainly justified. Joe Biden is probably the biggest train wreck of a president we have ever had in the United States. But I thought to myself, as I'm looking at this, as an outsider, as an observer, as no member of any cult or tribe, I looked at it and thought, could that same headline have been written in 2020 during the Trump term? Because everything in 2020 was dramatically worse than it was in 2019. You get where I'm going. People want to have hope. They want to have hope that if they just vote hard enough, that they just, you always hear this, kick the bums out. Well, occasionally you're successful at that. The problem is you put in another bum. The hope is, I've seen two videos in the last day of people from Canada. One with this small, short, rotund restaurant owner is visited by the Canadian brown shirts, threatening her with charges for serving food to her patrons during their lockdown, and she dispatched with them. I wish I could play the clip, but there are many choice words. Like my opening quote of the day, words fit for a sailor that she used in this, but she and the people in the restaurant pretty much dispatched with these thugs in uniforms that were coming to threaten her because she dared to feed her family by feeding other families. She showed them down. Now, I'm under no illusion. They'll be back, and they will ultimately win in that situation. But the people in that cafe, as well as the owner, were having none of it, and they basically ran them out of the restaurant. There was also another video in Canada of these same thug cops showing up at, I believe it was a pub, that was packed full of maskless people enjoying their lives, a greater crime I cannot imagine. And people barricaded the door. They just stood in front of the door and would not let these police through. They stood their ground, called them names, told them they should be ashamed of themselves, and sent the police in that packing as well. No violence. I don't know how they restrained themselves, to be honest with you. The business owners. There was no violence. They just would not allow the police to come. That's the hope you should be clinging to. Not your political party, not your political savior. That's never going to happen. And even though I'm not a two-party guy, I totally get this. You know, the story is out right now. Gallup has done a poll. Preferences shifted from a 9-point Democrat advantage to a 5-point GOP edge. Average party preferences for all of 2021 were similar, but larger percentage of U.S. adults identify as political independents. I totally understand people moving to the right after seeing the left go completely insane. But you've got a lot of good friends. You've got a lot of good people out there who have identified as Democrats. They're seeing the insanity as well. To continue to call them out seems to serve no purpose. We need them as well. We need them standing in the doorways of businesses that are trying to be closed in places like New York City. But I also understood this. There's another story that Gen Xers, it says, Gen Xers have always been a swing voting group, but their kids, Gen Z, sometimes called Zoomers, overwhelmingly back Democrats. And I understand that as well. The adults, let me back up, the air quotes in the studio, adults, referring to us, have left Gen Zers, Zoomers, such a monumental crap sandwich in terms of an economy. In so many different ways, we have let this nation become something that is wildly unfair to so many people. More headlines about that in just a minute. But I understand their knee-jerk reaction. These are kids without a lot of life experience, certainly indoctrinated in the schools by professors who have never gone out and earned an honest living in their life. But they're looking at the landscape and seeing they can't afford homes, that a car would cost them 2 years' salary, and they think that somebody ought to be giving them something. I don't blame them for that thought. I'll argue the economics of it all day long. But it is us to blame who have allowed the Roger Wickers of the world, the Benny Thompsons of the world, the political class of the world, as we lined up on our tribes like good little well-behaved puppies. We've allowed them to loot this country, and the Gen Zers are noticing there's not a whole lot left for them. Now, they think that this government that actually destroyed everything is somehow going to come to their aid, and they're certainly wrong about that. Eventually, they'll come to that conclusion themselves. It probably will be pretty bad by the time they figure that out, but I understand that as well. So I understand people leaning one way or another, but thinking there's a political savior is a fool's errand, regardless of which side you're on. When I get back, I wanted to talk about this story because I think it just brings out some points, and then I've got some headlines to kind of, just from yesterday, that kind of back up exactly what was said. It's another piece by this guy that I really like reading. His name is Charles Hughes Smith, and he had a piece titled, "Politics is Dead, Here's What Killed It." I don't know what it is about Charles Hughes Smith. I like his writing. He's just got such great headlines. Even when I don't know it's him, I think I've clicked on just about every piece he's ever put out. He's a genius headline writer. But the piece was interesting, makes just three good points as to why politics as a solution to anything is completely dead. And then I'll read you the headlines to show you why he's right. We'll do that when I come back. Stay with me. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Next hour, Mary Jo Perry of Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights. I'm going to get her reaction to this clip from the Mini Mingle and the Lion Walensky talking about VAERS just being full of a bunch of people who got the shot, walked out, got hit by a car, and that's all that's on VAERS, really. It's just a bunch of random accidents that occurred after the vaccinations. That's really all VAERS is, according to these, air quotes here in the studio, scientists. So we'll talk to her next hour. Thank you to James, who called me during the break. I love topical humor. He said, what's the difference between a millennial and a pigeon? A pigeon can still make a deposit on a Mercedes. That's a good one. And it's right up with my point that I just made. The millennials, we screwed this generation. We have left them. We have taken the greatest nation. I'm talking to you, greatest generation, and you, baby boomers, and us, Gen Xers, I'm talking to all of us. We have allowed this country to be looted, and our children are inheriting the carcass. And we judge them because they want stuff given to them because they see the deck stacked against them. They can't afford homes anymore. They're saddled with $150,000 of student loans. We allowed this student loan program to go on for forever and told every kid they need to go to college. I mean, this just kills me. People act like these younger generations just dropped out of the sky. We raised them. We allowed the political class to turn into an oligarchy, loot this country, and our kids are noticing that. Now, I disagree with them. Their solutions are terrible. Trust me. I'll just go ahead and tell you right now. I've got a son. I'm battling some indoctrination that he has. It was kind of funny. We had a conversation last night. We do a lot of text, and he'll bring up things and challenge me on stuff, and I'll challenge him on stuff. I love my son to death. We're actually very close. It's sometimes we get into heated debates on stuff, and some things we're absolutely simpatico on. I don't know if I'm supposed to take it as an insult that my son just doesn't follow in my libertarian footsteps, but that's okay. He's a 20-year-old. He's got kind of a bit of an artist heart, kind of wants to be a writer. He's absolutely a genius writer, too. So he's got that kind of proclivity, and most of his arguments are based around the fact he sees people being abused and wants to fix that. He embraces some of the left's ideas of how to take care of these people, and I battle those back. We have great debates. But at the end of one of the conversations last night, he sent me a long text, and he said, I think I'm too serious sometimes. And I said, exactly. I said, you know, it's a balance. You can fight the good fight and still have a great time. I would imagine Martin Luther King had some big belly laughs along the way while he was fighting real injustice. But when my son and I started talking last night, he had watched Fight Club. I haven't seen that in a while. I do like the movie. He had watched Fight Club, and he said, you know, I don't know if this was pointed out to him or if he took away from it. He said, there's a lot in there that's really an indictment of capitalism in Fight Club. And I started trying to recall it. I'm terrible at movie recall, but I started thinking about it, and I thought, okay, I can kind of see that. You know, I know Edward Norton's character is pretty disillusioned at work, and he needs this thrill of being punched in the face to break him out of the monotony of his job, as I kind of recall. I'll watch it again to see. But what I said to my son is, well, that's a hell of a thing. I wonder how much Brad Pitt and Edward Norton in the movie studio made bashing capitalism, you know. And even my son found that to be a little funny. So anyway, make sure you keep your sense of humor about you. Don't let this political class and the crap sandwich that they've handed to us steal your joy. Don't let it ruin the quality of your life. It's difficult sometimes. I certainly get fired up on this show, but I'll walk out of this studio and yuck it up with the guys in the studio whenever I can. So I ran across this piece by Charles Hugh Smith called Politics is Dead. Here's What Killed It. And I'll read a couple of clips from it. Just quotes from it, and then we'll get down into the 3 points that he makes. He said, representational democracy, also known as politics, as a solution to social and economic problems, has passed away. It did not die a natural death. Politics developed a cancer very early in life, probably around the 1800s, caused by wealth outweighing public opinion. This cancer spread slowly but metastasized in the past few decades, spreading to every nook and cranny of our society and economy as, air quotes, democracy, unquote, devolved into an invitation-only auction of elections and political favors. And he goes into these 3 points. Politics might have had a fighting chance, but three forces betrayed the nation and its citizenry. And number one, I guess I can toot my own horn. I've been trying to tell you. Number one, according to Charles Hugh Smith, is the Federal Reserve transferred millions of dollars. Excuse me. That was so 1960s of me. The Federal Reserve transferred trillions of dollars of unearned wealth into the feeding troughs of the super wealthy and corporations, vastly increasing the wealth the top 0.01% had to buy elections and favors. The Federal Reserve cloaked its treachery with jargon, quantitative easing, stimulus, etc., and then stabbed the nation's representational democracy in the back. You don't like the corruption in Washington, D.C.? This is Mike Madison talking now, not Charles Hugh Smith. You don't like the corruption in Washington, D.C.? Guess where the oligarchs get their cash to buy off Congress? I told you, every single problem that the right talks about can be traced back to the Death Star Federal Reserve. Number two, the Supreme Court betrayed the nation's representative democracy by labeling corporations buying elections and political favors a form of free speech. The Supreme Court's equating wealth buying elections and favors with individual citizens' sacrosanct right of free speech was a knife in the back of the nation and its citizenry. And then number three, the two political parties betrayed their traditional voter bases to kneel at the altar of corporate elite wealth, wealth which bought elections and political favors. The Democrats, traditional champions of the workforce in the 20th century, abandoned workers in favor of serving their corporate masters, making their betrayal with fine-sounding phrases. It goes on to take down the Republican Party as well. And he goes on to say this, too, kind of make a theme for this first hour of the show. He says, to cloak their betrayal and treachery, the parties have pursued a divide-and-conquer distraction game, pushing half the nation into one-size-fits-all enemy list with labels that have lost all meaning other than as a means to promote divisiveness and rancor, liberal and conservative, socialist and capitalist, etc. And he's exactly right in this piece. As I say, he's one of my favorite people. You can email me if you want the link or just look up for Charles Hugh Smith. He writes on a blog called Of Two Minds. Just a good writer. Doesn't have any particular influence. But he knocks some of them out of the park. Here's just a kind of some headlines that should tell you that he's right. And these things take place under Republicans and Democrats, Donald Trump and Joe Biden. World's 10 richest men see their wealth double during the pandemic. World's 10 richest men see their wealth double during the pandemic. New billionaire created every 26 hours. Obscene inequality. And then there was this, just talking about money just sloshing around for the elites. I like the singer Adele. She's got a beautiful voice, and I really am. I quite admire her weight loss. She took control of her own health. That's a big theme of this show on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 o'clock. And to see the haters come out, too, when she lost all this weight and became healthier, for some reason people got upset. But she looks fantastic. She's got a great voice. She has now got a residency in Las Vegas. You know, she's earning a night for her residency in Las Vegas. This is a night, not a week, not a month, not a year. Each night for Adele, her residency in Las Vegas, she will make $700,000. $700,000 a night. I think that is basketball players and football players would dream of that kind of cash. Scalpers for an Adele seat are charging $40,000 a seat. $40,000 for an Adele concert. You know, and this is the basically the Hunger Games economy that we have created. You know, I remember taking my daughter to a One Direction concert up in Kansas City. I've talked about it on the show before. It's an interesting trip. Taking a couple of tweens, several hundred miles away to see One Direction. The best thing about it was, you know, I had custody of my kids. I raised my kids, and I was kind of one of the only dads there. I've never been to a concert where there were no men in the men's room. The line for the ladies' room was out the door because most of the moms took their daughters to see One Direction. If you're not familiar with the band, it's one of these boy bands. A bunch of cute kids. It's actually a very good concert. But it was mostly moms and daughters and then me. And I remember going to the bathroom, and there was one other guy in there. We both just kind of looked at each other and smiled. The women's bathroom line was half a mile long. Never been to a concert and walked straight in. Anyway, I remember going there, and we had decent seats, but we were up in the stadium seating, and there were some seats down there by the stage, and I actually knew some people that were down there. They had paid, I believe, $500 a ticket to be closer to the stage down there. And this is, you know, again, it's creating this idea. I thought it was really kind of sick at the time. I'd be ashamed of myself if I was in a band. And for any of my fans to get close enough to get a good view of my show, they'd have to come off $500. And obviously, for that kind of band, mom had to bring them. That's $1,000 for two tickets for people to come for a 2.5-hour concert in Arrowhead Stadium. Not in their living room. Parking was $30. That was the most... That's what really got me, was the parking. You should have seen me looking, whipping my neck side to side when I realized I was in the line and I first saw the sign that said parking $30. I was boxed in. There's three lanes of traffic heading for this $30. I was trying to figure out a way. There's got to be a better way. And I paid the $30. But anyway, we have... This money is really separating classes in this country. And I think that a lot of people listening to the sound of my voice may think that I'm some leftist. But I'm telling you, this wealth inequality, it's coming for the middle class. It's gotten the working class. It certainly has gotten the poorer citizens in this country. And sure, there's a lot of people make a lot of mistakes and keep them poor. There's still great opportunity in this country. But we have created an oligarch class by all this money pumping out of the government, out of the Federal Reserve, that is landing in the troughs of these people. And it is dividing this country. You in the middle class, and even you in the upper middle class, you are going to find yourself secondhand citizens should this continue. And politics is not going to solve it, because politics is bought and paid for. And I hate to tell you, that includes Donald J. Trump. He's not going to come save you from this. It is finally catching a clue and understanding the real issues to elect different kinds of people that might go up there and dismantle the Federal Reserve, or maybe making these people a little bit more scared of us. When I come back, though, I do have some good news. I got a good news and a bad news clip for this show. And the first one is very, very encouraging. And then the second one, they're turning the dogs against us. I can't watch it any longer. Please, dogs, I implore you. Don't serve these people. We'll be right back. All right, you know, I've never been in an AA program, never had a recognized alcohol problem. Had you known me in my college years, early 20s, you might have thought I had a problem, but I guess it didn't grab a hold of me. But my understanding is the first thing you have to do is admit you got a problem, right? I've seen Intervention, the show on A&E, before. First thing you got to do is you got to admit to yourself that you got a problem. Well, this is the good news. Maybe people are finally starting to understand, or at least more people are finally understanding we've got a problem.
The Pew Research Center has been polling Americans for decades. More and more, they are finding that Americans are growing less trusting of key institutions that make government function. Why is that happening? It's a complicated picture, says Pew researcher Katarina Eva Matz.
I'm going to submit 60 years, an easily observable 60 years of abject failure at everything they touch. Maybe that's starting to show, become more apparent to even the most disengaged of people.
There's not one single element that we've seen in our data that we can pinpoint and say, okay, this is what happened and this is why we are seeing decline.
Recently, they've been going back.
Because it's a slow, steady slide. 60 years of a slow, steady destruction of the United States. People are finally seeing. You know, this is the interesting thing to me. What I see is this is like rising water. You know, the poor have always felt like they got the short end of the stick. Certainly they've got more benefits that are good for them and all of these other kinds of things, but they've always kind of understood that, you know, they've seen the other half and how they live and have always been a little disgruntled. But this water is rising to get not just the poor, not just the working poor. It's starting to get the working class, the middle class, even the upper middle class are starting. The water is rising. Everybody's starting to feel it.
Through their surveys to chart this decline. And while there's no one reason for the dip, one factor stands out, party affiliation, and that likely determines who you trust.
We see deep partisan divides in which sources people turn to, the sources that they trust, how they consume news. This is very much driven by their political identity.
And it's gotten worse in recent years.
Never before, prior to 2016, we had seen that huge divide between Republicans and Democrats when it comes to their views about the news media.
But it's not just the news media that's losing trust.
Pretty regularly, you see supporters of the winning candidate having much more trust in the elections.
That's Bradley Jones. He focuses on U.S. public opinion about politics at the Pew Research Center. Recently, he's been looking into public trust in our elections, and it doesn't look good.
Elections are the primary way that the public is connected to politicians, right? It's the way that we hold politicians accountable, and it really kind of underpins the whole system. And so if faith and trust in elections erodes, then it's like the foundation of the building crumbling.
You know, I try to do some funny stuff on this show, but that may be one of the funniest ones where he said, elections are where we hold politicians accountable. Guy, he said it with a straight face, very dry sense of humor there. We know we hold them accountable for nothing. But the bottom line is, and Republicans are quicker to this. You know, I know a lot of Democrats who also understand, you know, but they understand that the government fails at so many different things it does. They just are clinging to this belief, if they just do a little bit more, with a little bit more money, they'll turn this thing around. Democrats, I hate to tell you, it's never going to happen. You've had your chances of more money for 60 years now. Every year you've gotten more money, more money, more money, more programs, and it just gets worse. I don't know when you abandon that. And then there was this piece, too. So the good news is that people are losing their faith in government. I'm going to play a little bit of this guy's clip. His name is Neil Oliver, and he's on the channel in Great Britain. He does a lot of just kind of commentary pieces. Really, I got to be honest with you, he's going to say pretty much the same thing as what you just heard, that people are losing faith in institutions, also across the pond and in Great Britain. But I just play him because as a man of Scottish heritage, I guess I'm a Scottish American, I just love the Scottish accent. It just adds gravitas to anything.
Now, according to the Beatles, all you need is love. It's a fine sentiment, heartfelt and hopeful. I would say, though, that once you've been round the houses a few times, seen a bit of life, you come to realise that in all things that matter, from affairs of the heart to business dealings, it's really about trust. Our trust is a gift we choose to give. It's a pricelessly valuable commodity and may form the foundation for a happy life, for long and fruitful relationships. But given unwisely and in error, offered up to an undeserving recipient and then abused by them, trust is as fragile as a soap bubble. In truth, trust is a one-time only offer. Real, meaningful trust can only be given once. Once the soap bubble is burst, there's no fixing it. Once trust is gone on account of its being misused, it never really comes back, not in the pure form of before. After a breach of trust, everything is different and forever. And in our hearts, we all know that's true. A broken vase might be glued back together, but you could never again be as confident as before about filling it with water. A functioning and civilized society is also based in large part upon trust. Short of the application of physical force, tanks on the streets, soldiers with rifles, the power of democratically elected governments, such as we have been taught to listen to, even to take for granted, is just an illusion. A handful of people is put in charge of the affairs of state, and a multitude of citizens lets them get on with it. This arrangement is wholly predicated, however, on trust by the many of the few. If the handful of people trusted with keeping the lights on and the streets safe to walk abuses and loses the trust of the millions, then that functioning society is no more. What follows is either despotism that must be sustained at the point of a bayonet, or anarchy and chaos. Without recourse to the tanks and bullets, that untrustworthy and untrusted handful of people is suddenly and utterly powerless, impotent in the face of all those they have wronged.
And this goes on for about 10 minutes in that great Scottish accent. Scottish accent, Russian accent, two of my favorites. Yeah, trust is gone. And that is what they count on, trust in our money, trust in politics. And they're always dangling that you can trust me. I'm the guy that's going to change all this stuff for decade after decade after decade. Once the trust, there are so many more of us. If I had thought about it, but had the foresight, I'd have my Bugs Life clip where they said just one ant. So if they ever figure out that they outnumber us 100-1, then our way of life is over. It's a genius clip in Bugs Life. But anyway, trust is broken. I'll be right back. We're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB. Thanks for joining me today. Also, hopefully joining us next 30 minutes, bottom of the hour, will be Mary Jo Perry, Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights. They got a big rally going on down at the Capitol tomorrow. You can come and go, but you certainly should go down there. If you value freedom for yourself and for your children, you should go down there and make an appearance at their Capitol Day tomorrow. I think it starts at 9:30. It's going on most of the day. I'll be down there after the show tomorrow myself, so have Mary Jo Perry tell us a little bit about that, and I want to get her reaction to this clip that I played yesterday of the Lion Walensky, the CDC director, and the mini Mengele, Anthony Fauci, talking about VAERS in just the one of the most dishonest exchanges I've ever heard. I had a couple of things. We might hit on a little bit of tech news, but a couple of things I wanted to play. This was a really sad story. Please. I don't know about you. The more, particularly what I've seen out of society, you know, I really like people. I really do like people. I find most people to be very interesting, regardless of their status in life or who they are or their color or anything. When you really kind of get to know somebody and hear their story, almost everybody's got an interesting story. And I'm fascinated by that. I think I get along with just about every single person I meet. It takes a real jerk for me to have an interpersonal problem with somebody from the get-go. But as society, I got to tell you, I'm not a fan these days. And the more I have kind of realized I want to disconnect from society to a degree, the more I've liked dogs. I've been a dog lover for a long time. I just really have always liked dogs. Like cats, too. But there's something special about a dog. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter if you were a jerk that day. You come home and that tail wagging, it's just one of the greatest things in the world. And I love dogs. So this is a tragic story to me. They're turning the dogs against us. Check this out.
This is Hunta. She's a black lab. She's 14 months old. And she's a warrior in the fight against COVID.
No!
Hunta received training to recognize the scent of the coronavirus. If she smells it, she will give a signal and then get a toy. Nothing found in this second grade gym.
Yeah, dogs are smart. All I got to do is fake smelling something and I get a toy? Oh, hell, this is a good gig.
Class at the L.G. Norris Elementary School in Norton, Massachusetts. So she goes on to play with some of the children. But then Hunta is brought into the school library.
Uh-oh.
Good girl.
And while first graders have music class on the other side of the library, Hunta abruptly sits down. a signal that.
We do have some odor, presence of COVID odor on this bookshelf.
We got evidence of some COVID odor over here on the bookshelf. Are you kidding me? This is being done to our children. They are weaponizing a dog. A dog. A wonderful, sweet, innocent dog. They have turned into the sniff Gestapo. So the kids are just waiting for this dog to sit anytime he identifies some deadly pathogen amongst them. Can you imagine how much this would stress kids out? And they're using a dog.
She just, she actually just sat. Good girl.
Yeah, she wants a toy, dummy.
So what I'll do is I'll praise her, good girl. Let her wait it out a little bit, kind of dial it in, try to narrow it down.
We know COVID-19 primarily spreads through the air.
Yeah, but no problem with a dog walking through the library and sitting down because she smells COVID on a shelf somewhere.
And Hunter is searching there, too.
And odor is almost like a cone. If you could picture a cone, the source of the odor is strong at the base like it was on the bookshelf, and then the odor goes out into a cone.
This is Duke. He's Hunter's partner in the canine COVID patrol.
No!
This is the school cafeteria.
Uh-oh.
He stops abruptly and sits, too.
He just found something.
And then, 2 minutes later...
What did he find here? Same thing.
So what happens after Duke and Hunter make their discoveries?
We notify parents in terms of if we have information that a student is specific in that seat, we want parents to have that right to make a decision about do they want to test and stay the student, do they want to pull the student, or just keep an eye out for symptoms.
In addition, after the detector dog makes a hit, the areas are disinfected.
Oh, my God. Holy cow. This is a disease that children survive at 99.999999. And they are terrorizing them with this constant reminder that this bug could be anywhere. Hunto might find it. Can you imagine being a child in this cafeteria? I guess that was Duke that went into the cafeteria. Maybe they need a more manly, more commanding presence of the male dog in the cafeteria. So you're sitting there enjoying your lunch and this dog is going behind you. My God, he sat behind me. There was a story a while back about a cat at a nursing home. And this cat would enter a room and jump up on the bed and of the patient that was going to die next. It was really a very morose story, but it kind of cracked me up in my dark sense of humor. As I just imagined laying in a bed, you're just minding your own business, reading a book, watching a little television, talking to a friend on the phone, and you look down and you see this cat starting to walk in the door. You're just thinking, oh, my God, no. I'll be throwing shoes at this cat. Let's keep my door closed, please. This cat was the Grim Reaper. This is what this reminds me of. They're turning the dogs against us. They are taking dogs through the school to identify the odor of coronavirus and then making the child paranoid. Oh, you're infected. We better tell your parents. They can get you to test. I mean, this is just... Oh, it's just terrible, but it just compounds it that they're using dogs, not to mention the fact we've just completely lost our minds. Speaking of losing our minds, the Lamar County School District apparently has lost their mind. I want you to listen to this from the Lamar County School District here in Mississippi. Thank you to Sarah that sent this out to the Madison Moms group earlier today. Due to the rise in positive cases and close contacts, we ask that you place a copy of your child's vaccine card either in their backpack or a picture in their phone so we can verify vaccination status immediately. There's a link available to upload your student's card, but I want you to listen to their guidance and the differentiations they're making between the vaxxed students and the unvaxxed students and tell me if this makes a lick of friggin' sense. If your student is... I'm sorry, that's real fuzzy on this thing. If your student is listed as a close contact and is vaccinated, this will allow him or her, well, at least it's not the, them, Z, this will allow him or her to remain in class as long as they have no symptoms. Now, why should there be a distinction there? The vaccinated can spread this thing just like anybody else. Why would they distinguish between this, knowing that even the head of Pfizer and the CDC tell you, oh, yeah, you can still contract it and spread it? So this is just punitive. This is the Lamar County School District, the mental midgets running that operation. During the 10 days following your student's exposure, we ask that your close contacts monitor for symptoms and wear a cloth face covering. Now, I know this is Lamar County, a smaller area of the country, but they do get the news, don't they? They do have televisions down there, my understanding. Because if they do, I wanted to remind everybody of this. This was Lena Wen, one of the main authoritarians on CNN that's been pushing those ridiculous cloth masks for 22 months and then suddenly comes out and says this.
Cloth masks are not appropriate for this pandemic. It's not appropriate for Omicron. It was not appropriate for Delta, Alpha, or any of the previous variants either, because we're dealing with something that's airborne.
Yeah. So they want you to put this ridiculous cloth face covering that even the CDC and CNN has now admitted do absolutely nothing except trap bacteria in your child's face, in their mouth hole. And so Lamar County School District, obviously, if you've got your children in these schools, I mean, what do? You get them the hell out, I guess. They're being run by petty tyrants and obviously people without a couple of functioning brain cells. That's Lamar County, Mississippi. Don't be surprised if this pops up at JPS. And even the Rankin and Madison County school districts are not immune to this stuff. I've heard the Clinton school district did some really idiotic things last year, too. So it's something to be on the lookout for. And a reason that you should be attending this medical freedom rally tomorrow with Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights. I'll be right back.
I went home. The way I always do. How was I to know? She was with the Russians.
I have got to be a better organizer of my clips because of what I also wanted to play for the Lamar County School District. If they haven't heard that the cloth masks are out, they're out. Even the CDC that told you to wear these ridiculous face coverings for the past 22 months has come out and said, oh, yeah, they don't do any good. The former head of the FDA, Scott Gottlieb, Trump's guy, who is now on the board of directors of Pfizer, has come out and said, cloth masks, they don't do any good. Now they're trying to push you towards these N95 masks, and Biden's trying to give them away for free. Of course, they're not giving you enough to last even 2 days because you're supposed to change these things. Well, with N95s, I think the surgical mask is every 2 hours. An N95 may get you through the day. You know, that is if you remain conscious with a lack of oxygen from wearing the stupid thing for a day. But even the FDA head come out, former FDA head came out and said, oh, yeah, these cloth masks, they don't work. So I don't know how many people have to tell you from these people that you're listening to. I guess Thomas Dobbs needs to come out and be, maybe he'd change his mask because he's been wearing a cloth mask for the last 22 months, too. You know, the air quotes in the studio, scientist that he is. He's been wearing a cloth mask for 22 months, but I'm sure he can come out now. And they pretend like they weren't ever wrong. They just come out and say, yeah, the cloth masks don't work. You need an N95 mask. Why are you that have been wearing masks for 22 months? I would imagine most of you don't want to, but I'm beginning to even question that when I go into a Kroger. You look like you've really embraced the face covering. I saw a story the other day of some little girl. Her mom was recounting a story where she said something like, well, you don't have a mask mandate anymore. You know, you don't have to wear the mask if you don't want to. And this little girl said, well, I like it because then people can't see my face. That about makes me want to cry. And that's what parents have done. That's what teachers have done. That's what these health authorities have done. And they don't even work. And they come out and admit it now. But they don't go, hey, sorry. Sorry about that. You've been exposed to this the whole time. It was doing no good. It was only doing damage to you. It was doing damage to you socially. It was doing damage to you emotionally. It was doing damage to you physically. And it did no protective job whatsoever. Well, they haven't come out and said that. They just now just switched. You need an N95 mask. Yeah, cloth mask, no good. Do I need to play the clip again from CNN? Because some of you listening right now are wearing those stupid things today. Take it off. As I said, if you were not in a close contact conversation with Sylvester the cat that fuckering fuckatash, then you really don't need to worry about giant chunks of spittle hurling at you as you pass somebody on the Kroger checkout line. I couldn't find the clip also to the Lamar County School District. I'm just not good at organizing my clips right now. I've got too many of them. I've got to find a better system. The Pfizer CEO, I played the clip last week where he came out and said, the first two shots, they do nothing for what we're going through right now. Yet the Lamar County School Board has designated somehow between the vaccinated children and the unvaccinated children. The head of Pfizer came out and said, the first two shots are basically worthless. I'm paraphrasing. I'm going to find the clip. And then he said, with the booster, it may provide some benefit, if any at all. If any at all. That's a direct quote. If any at all. Yet the Lamar County School District, Thomas Dobbs, all of these people breathlessly insisting that your child be part of this experiment for a shot that the head of the company producing this thing says marginal benefit, if any at all. Unbelievable that what you would have formerly assumed were thinking adults cannot understand. It's okay to make a U-turn on this stuff and just knock it off. Just stop. Just stop. The shots don't work. They're hurting people. And they're doing nothing for spread or for infection. Have you looked around lately, dummies? Just stop. You might find some grace within your constituencies, the parents that are sending their kids to your schools, even you employers out there. You may find some grace from your employees that if you came out and said, hey, look, I was hep to this thing because we thought it was going to work. They told us it was going to work, but it looks like it's not working and it's hurting people. So we're dropping the mandate. Really apologize. Maybe you can't apologize in today's litigious world. Maybe that's a bridge too far, but you can just stop. You can knock it off. All of the evidence is against any kind of vaccine mandate. All the evidence is against this entire Lamar County School Board designation between a vaxxed kid and an unvaxxed kid, treating them somehow separately when both of them can contract, both of them can spread the disease. And then you put them in the cloth mask. I mean, the evidence is against every single thing you are recommending. You can just stop. It's okay. I've been duped before. I talk about it on the air all the time. Everybody's been duped. Nobody's willing to acknowledge it, and so we just continue to act like jackasses and do ridiculous disease theater because we're just too scared to admit that we got something wrong. Blame it on Fauci. Blame it on Dobbs. Deflect. I don't care. Just knock it off. Stop. You're doing nothing. Watching Chokwe in his cloth mask at a city council meeting is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. What kind of a leader is that? I'm going to have a difficult time going through the grocery store today if I stay in this mood. When I come back, we'll get Mary Jo Perry on here to weigh in on some of these things. Stay with me. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I am awaiting the call of Mary Jo Perry, who is putting on this rally tomorrow down at the Capitol. This will be an all-day event. I'll let her give the details should she call. This is just typical woman stuff. She's got me waiting. I send her a text. She may be ghosting me. I'm not sure. I'm not going to get to my Tech Tuesday stuff today, I don't guess, because I definitely have a few things I wanted to talk about Mary Jo and let her tell you about the rally tomorrow. I think just about the entire WYAB team is going to be down there at some point. I know Clay is going. I'm sure Jameson's going to be down there. I know I'll be there, and I would imagine if Kim can get down there, he will do the same. So we'll be down there fighting the good fight. We are not the WGOP stations that are in this market who have to tote the Mississippi State Department of Health line on everything because we don't receive money from them like these other stations do. And so we will be down there. I believe I'm going to be manning a table, a welcome table, at some point tomorrow. Volunteered to do that. So, again, it'll be around a bunch of great people. These are the kind of people that you want to associate with if you see these things. And I've got some stories. I've got a story here. I want to get Mary Jo on when we can because I want her to hear this. I wondered if she had seen this. You know, my big problem with the shots that we've got going on right now, notwithstanding the fact that our childhood schedule is already onerous. And I want to point out the fact, too, Mary Jo and I have already talked about it, but I was just stunned about 6 months ago when I realized, oh, the vast majority of westernized countries around the world do not have vaccine requirements for their kids. And their kids aren't dropping in the streets. You don't hear of giant outbreaks of disease going on in these places. So this is just a uniquely American pharmaceutical company-sponsored thing that that is taking place here with all of these kinds of mandates. But the problem with this shot is that there's no long-term testing. We've already seen some pretty horrific. I mean, there's tens of thousands of American families whose lives have been changed forever because of this shot. Now, you may believe that COVID was this existential crisis. Donald Trump keeps telling you that this shot has saved tens of millions of lives. This is the statistic he throws out there. I don't buy that for a moment. I believe actually all of the mitigation efforts up to and including this shot have cost lives and will continue far into the future. But even if you buy that the COVID was some kind of a big threat, there was no testing done on this thing. And you can say, well, we had to rush it out there. It was an emergency situation. But I hate to tell you, there are consequences for long-term testing of shots. There's a reason that they did that. As dishonest as our health authorities are, at least in the past, they did tend to test these things. We got a caller. I think this may be Mary Jo. Hey, Mary Jo, is that you?
No, Alan Ramsey, not Mary Jo.
Hey, Alan, how are you doing? Sorry, man, I just didn't even look at the number. What's going on?
Quite all right. On the air?
Yeah.
Listen, I just want to remind your listeners about this Defeat the Mandate rally in Washington this weekend.
Oh, yeah, right. That's Malone's involved in that, isn't he?
Exactly. I'm going up Friday. The rally is Sunday. And it promises to be massive. Hopefully it'll be a January 6th style event. So please reiterate it. If people can get there, awesome. If not, stay tuned in for the news. And it's a very important thing to fight not just this COVID vaccine mandate, but it's part of the bigger picture W-I-B. That you're talking about right now. Right?
Yeah, thanks, Alan. How many people are they expecting up there?
Well, that's one of those things you never know till it all happens,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's getting huge publicity in internet circles. There were as many as a couple of million there for the January 6th. Is it going to be a January 6th size crowd? You've got McCullough, Malone, Simone Gold. You've got sports figures. You've got pro athletes. You've got a lot of groups who are working together to put this on.
Yeah.
And it has the potential to be huge. But we got to let everybody know what's going on.
Yeah. Well,
I'm hopeful that everybody who was there for January 6th will want to be there for this as well.
Yeah. It certainly is as big an issue. I mean, it's a big deal.
It's over.
Yeah. All right. Yep. Hey, thanks, Alan. I appreciate it. I got Mary Jo Perry online, and she's got a little bit of time with us today to talk about tomorrow's rally.
Yep. I'll be listening.
Thanks man. Mike. Appreciate it. All right. Let's get Mary Jo. Mary Jo, are you with me?
I'm there.
All right, great. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. So we're going to talk a little bit about you guys have got a rally tomorrow downtown Jackson, so we want to talk about that. But I called you, it's kind of almost happenstance, to come on the air because of this clip that I played yesterday from that I guess I tried to send to you. I think someone else sent to you of Anthony Fauci and Walensky talking to Congress about the VAERS system. I wanted to play that for you in just a second. But I also wanted to, you know, this is Mary Jo Perry. She's one of the co-heads of Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights. You guys have been looking at the vaccine issue. How long have you been involved in this?
Just about a decade at this point. We started in 2012 and have been going to the Capitol ever since.
Right.
Nearly during session.
I ran across a story. Do you follow Alex Berenson on Substack?
I don't.
Okay. I wanted to read this to you because I think this is important for people to understand, too. And it's about testing of shots. This is a story about something that happened in Europe a while back. And I'm gonna read just a little bit real quick just to point out, you know, the idea is right now that with these COVID vaccines, that any bad effects are going to be within, you know, I think they try to pinpoint it into 48 hours or 72 hours. I think they tested these things for 2 months before they rolled them out, saying, 6 weeks is generally the time we're going to see any problems. After that, we're good to go. They even threw in a couple of extra weeks there, but they tested about for 2 months, is my understanding. And this is a story. In 2006, farmers in Germany began seeing calves die horribly. Between 10 days and 3 weeks after their birth, the calves would begin bleeding uncontrollably from their eyes, ears, and even their skin. Farmers called the illness bleeding calf syndrome or even blood sweating. Disease spread from Germany to other European countries, killing up to 15% of the calves in some farms. Thousands died. Scientists found that the bone marrow and blood cells of the calves had been destroyed, and they called the disease bovine neonatal panthecytopenia. As the outbreaks worsened, scientists, veterinarians, and farmers raced to unearth the underlying cause of the illness. Could the problem be breed-specific? Perhaps it had something to do with the feed the cows received, or maybe as yet unknown bacterial or viral infection. Meticulous examination of the records of the calves and their mothers or dames, dams, you would know that better than me, revealed that dams who had received multiple doses of a vaccine called Pregsure PVD or BVD were far more likely to have calves who suffered the blood sweats. Calves who received colostrum, the pre-milk fluid that cows and other mammals made before producing breast milk from vaccinated dams, also had a higher risk. And there's a kicker in just a second. The risk increased with the number of doses that the dams had received, researchers found. Cows that had received at least 3 doses had 30 times the odds of having a calf with the illness, and those that had received at least 5 doses had a risk more than 40 times as high. Now, here is the kicker, and I think this is so important for people to understand why shots are tested for 5, 10, 12 years. 2 months is not sufficient. The risk also increased steadily with time. It was far higher in calves whose dams had received the vaccine years instead of months earlier. And this is what we're doing right now.
That's scary.
Yes, that is absolutely terrifying. The giant what if. What if there is a problem? And what they've already admitted to dozens of things with the shots they didn't know going in. They didn't know that the protection would wane. They didn't know it would travel throughout your body. They thought it would stay in your deltoid muscle. They didn't know, you know, they didn't know you could catch COVID. They didn't know you could spread it. All of these things they've already gotten wrong. And the idea that years down the road, and this is a vaccine that was put out by Pfizer into cattle in Europe, it took them years to figure out what it was. And it turned out the farther away from the shots these calves were, the worse the outcomes for their offspring.
Yeah, you know, we just move so fast with this vaccine, and the concerning thing is that it's a technology that we've not used in mass vaccination before.
Exactly.
And so, you know, for them to come up with this, you know, put this new vaccine out, novel vaccine, and have such abbreviated studies on it is just really disturbing.
Yeah,
and you and I are not surprised that we've found out some things that they claim they didn't know earlier on. I think a lot of people knew, and, you know, they're in business, and they've made a lot of money selling these COVID vaccines. Fear sells, and, you know, it's, if you can't sue them, if the vaccine's a problem,
right,
then what do they have to lose?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just, it's so obvious to anybody who's willing to look. Can you, I need to take a quick break. Can you hang on,
sure.
Mary Jo? We're going to come back on the other side. We're going to talk about your rally, and I want to play this clip from Fauci and Walensky and get your take on it. We're talking to Mary Jo Perry, Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, we are back. We're talking to Mary Jo Perry, Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights. They got a big rally going on tomorrow down at the Capitol. I think just about the entire WYAB team of disc jockeys here will be down there with them. So, Mary Jo, we'll be down there with you tomorrow.
Well, I appreciate that. Y'all have always been so supportive.
Well, we are certainly. We're in the fight with you for sure.
Well, I believe we have a historic opportunity to get something done because we've grown. Well, MPVR has more than doubled since last spring.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And I'm getting messages now from parents who were always, you know, never questioned vaccines at all. And now they're starting to dig about, you know, what we've been subjecting our children to.
Right.
Have concerns. So,
yeah. That's,
yeah. And
sad it takes something like this. But, you know, I mean, sometimes it just seems that has to happen. More and more people have to be touched. We can't quite put ourselves in other people's shoes and think through an issue.
Right.
We have to wait till it comes to our doorstep before we start reacting.
Yeah. Hey. Well, it's been our culture in the United States. We are the pharma nation. We use more pharmaceuticals than other countries. We give more vaccines than other countries. And I think it's only the United States and New Zealand that allows drug companies to advertise on television.
Right.
And it's just, you know, you drive through any, like even Flowood, you know, you've got the end down there where there's a lot of malls and stuff. But if you go just a little ways, it's just medical everything everywhere.
Right.
And people, you know, older people are on like spreadsheets of medications and it's just we've been conditioned to accept it and not question it.
Yeah. And slowly but sure. I mean, we have just been sliding down the world health rankings just for years and years.
Yeah.
And years. I mean, the more pills we take, the worse outcomes we have. Eventually that will,
mm-hmm.
you know, people will put two and two together. Hey, I wanted to play this clip for you because I just found this absolutely stunning. This is Anthony Fauci, the mini Mengele, and the lying Walensky, the head of the CDC, talking to Congress. One of the congressmen didn't do much homework for this in preparation for this question, but at least he asked something about the VAERS system. And I wanted to play this and get your reaction.
Walensky, it's been reported by some virologists and scientists that this year around 170 people have died from taking the regular flu vaccine. The Vaccine Advisory Adverse Reporting System reported that the number of people dying after or following the COVID vaccine is actually in the thousands. Now, this is what I'm hearing. I'll give you a chance to refute that or confirm it here. You know, is this true? Are we having that many people die after taking one of these vaccines?
Senator Tuberville, thank you for that question. The Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System is a mandatory system of any adverse event that happens after being vaccinated. So if you get hit by a car tragically after getting vaccinated, that gets reported in the Vaccine Adverse Reporting System, the VAERS system. So the vaccines are incredibly safe. They protect us against Omicron. They protect us against Delta. They protect us against COVID. They don't protect us against every other form of mortality out there.
Do we keep numbers of people that died following taking a COVID test from taking this vaccine? Do we have any idea? I'm just asking.
I'm sorry. Those who have died after taking a COVID test?
Died following taking the vaccine. Is there any number count? Do we keep records on that died of just...
Absolutely, yes. I couldn't give you the absolute number off the top of my head, but our staff could absolutely get back in touch with you. We collect those data.
Oh, you can search it on the internet.
You have any clue on that?
I don't have a number, but I think part of the confusion is that when you do a reporting, if you get vaccinated and you walk out and get hit by a car, that is considered a death. I mean, that's the thing that gets confusing, that everything that happens after the vaccination, even if you die of something completely obviously unrelated, it's considered a death. So if I had metastatic cancer, got vaccinated, and died 2 weeks later, that's a death that gets counted.
I understand that. Yeah.
And every one of those is adjudicated.
All right, Mary Jo Perry, Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights, on the phone with us. Mary Jo, you've been looking at VAERS long before we ever even heard of COVID. Is that what VAERS is? It's just full of a bunch of tragic accidents and ladder falls just in proximity to a vaccine, but it's not ever actually because of the shot, right?
I just don't even know where to begin with all of that. First of all, they say that it's a mandatory reporting system.
False.
To my knowledge, there is not one state in the country that has any sort of penalty for not reporting for healthcare providers.
Right.
They're supposed to. The law says that they're supposed to and that they're required by law. But the majority of doctors until COVID didn't even know what VAERS was. I've talked to many doctors, many nurses, and a lot of them didn't know what it was. Our health officer, Dr. Mary Currier, before Dr. Dobbs, we've got her on video saying she doesn't even know if it's online or not. It's been online for many, many years, and it's a searchable database. So if anyone has any question as to whether or not people are being reported for a car accident after a vaccine as dying, you know, from the COVID vaccine, you can go to the VAERS website and do a search and find that.
Right.
And for them to discount the numbers, I was just looking today. As of this morning, there have been 1.9 million adverse events reported.
Yeah. That's a lot of car accidents.
Yes. And everybody that's ever been in VAERS knows that these car accidents are not being reported.
Right.
That is just silly. It takes a healthcare provider 30 minutes to an hour. They've got to fill in the lot number and write in all the medical records and details. There's no penalty for not doing that. They can't be punished for not doing it. And so why would they do it?
And isn't it true that with VAERS that if you submit an adverse report, that the CDC then contacts you before they even issue a case number to make sure it's not I took a shot and then I was, you know, struck by lightning. They wouldn't issue that a case number.
Yeah, I've heard of that happening. I don't think that they have the manpower to call everyone that reports. They may kind of do spot checks, but I know lots of people that have reported. I'm not aware of anybody personally that has been contacted about a VAERS submission. That might be something new since they're having to deal with this avalanche now. And the other number that was so disturbing is 22,000 COVID deaths. And so
deaths.
That's what's been reported to date just from the COVID vaccine deaths, excuse me. I don't remember, it was 2015, it seems like it was. The CDC, they know that the VAERS system is shoddy and it's not reliable. And I personally think they like it that way.
Exactly.
But they had commissioned Harvard Pilgrim Health to do some research on a way to electronically track vaccine reactions and deaths. And so Harvard Pilgrim did so. And what they found, they did find a way to do it. And actually, CDC gave them money to do this study. They found a way to do it, but they also found, and this is in their paper, that less than 1% of actual adverse events are ever reported.
Right. Well,
so
you know,
if you take these 1.9 million, even if you cut that in half and multiply it by 100.
Yeah.
That is just like the biggest lie, and just that people thinking that people would even believe that baloney.
Well, when you hide VAERS as successfully as they have for years and years, then so many people might have a reaction, but it wouldn't even be top of their head that a week after a shot or 2 weeks after a shot or even 48 hours after a shot, they suffer a heart. They just don't even connect the two because they've been so successful in hiding VAERS and the idea of adverse reactions for decades now. They've just pretended that they don't happen. Hey, we've only got a couple minutes left. I wanted you to talk about your rally tomorrow and make sure people know where to go and what to do tomorrow.
Sure. Anyone who's interested in our rally can go to rallyformedicalfreedom.com, and that's where we've got our agenda and all the details, where to park, what to do about lunch. We're going to start check-in at about 9:30, and then we're having a prayer walk in the morning. We'll break for lunch, and then afterwards we've got a lineup of speakers all from Mississippi.
Okay. Are you actually going
into excited about that?
Are y'all going into the Capitol to talk to legislators, or this is more of an outside rally just to show that the issue matters to Mississippians?
So we're having the rally, but we always encourage people, especially if they're traveling, to make appointments with their legislators and go meet with them while they're there, to make the appointments ahead of time. And MPBR leaders have provided a way, and it's on rallyformedicalfreedom.com. You can see the instructions on how to do this. But, some people are afraid to go see their legislators, or they don't know their way around the Capitol, and they're not really sure what to say. And they might like for one of the MPBR leaders to go with them and attend a meeting. And so, we're happy to do that. So we will have lobbying appointments throughout the day for constituents of legislators up at the Capitol.
Yeah. Are you seeing any swing in the legislature? Are more people starting to kind of see the public outrage around this issue? And so
I think so. I think that, I still think that Mississippi in particular just does not, I don't know if it's just not willing or doesn't know how to turn up the heat enough to really get the attention of the legislature. But, I do see that there are a lot of legislators that have not introduced vaccine-related legislation in the past that now are. So, a lot of them got vaccinated and got sick anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And, might have been prohibited from going somewhere or doing something, and they feel, sort of ripped off. And because the vaccine, as we talked about earlier, it doesn't come free of risks.
Right.
And for them to call something safe that has 1.9 million reports of adverse events,
yeah,
and we've got such abbreviated studies, safety studies on it, is just outrageous.
It really is. And, just the term medical freedom for 98% of the population meant nothing, 12 months ago. And suddenly now, yeah, medical freedom is probably one of the top issues on people's minds. So you've been at the forefront of that for quite a long time. We've only got about 20 seconds left, but I just want to thank you for the work that you do. And where can people find your information?
Rallyformedicalfreedom.com.
All right. And you guys are also MPVR.
Right. MPVR.org/join to get on our email and our call list.
Okay.
And you can find more about our political action committee, where we're raising money to get some dirty politicians out of office.
There you go. So if you can't make the rally tomorrow, join MPVR. Mary Jo, thanks so much for calling in today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how